and to learn from him, and carry on in the book of Luke, and we are in chapter 1. You know, and yesterday we were able to see how the message was given to Zechariah, and unfortunately, him being a priest, it was expected of him to know that this could only be a message from God, that he and his wife would have a son, even though they were old and his prayer has been heard. But then he asks how these things shall be. And it's more of a question of doubt rather than a question to want to understand. And because of that, then he has to be silenced, and the angel has to tell him that you will be silent until that time when these things shall be fulfilled. And so he goes back home, and the Bible says God is faithful, and his wife conceives. And for 5 months she kept hidden. She kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me and has taken away my reproach among people." So we can see this advanced, aged couple, God blessing them with a child, and she has to hide for 5 months. But then now when we start in verse 26, now we see in the sixth month, that means that there's a continuity of the story. The same angel comes back now to connect to Mary. And yesterday, as we were saying, that the delay in the birth of John was linked to the Messiah, because there was something about it that they should, you know, come at the same time, one to prepare the way for the other. And you can see how they are related in a way, in that Mary and Elizabeth are cousins. They are related, but you see, Jesus did not come. He came, yes, as a man, but he has a spiritual heritage, and he comes as a Christ. You see, so like even how Paul says in his word that before we used to look at men after the flesh, and that's how we even used to think of Christ, but not anymore. You know, we don't consider men after the flesh, but if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That means when they encountered Christ, they thought initially first he was a Jew and he was working with them, but now they know him as the man from above, as the heavenly man, as the man from heaven. And likewise too, John and Jesus, yes, you could say they were cousins, or they were related, yes. But you see, when John encounters and realizes that this is the one, he says that, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And you know, he says that, "I did not know him until it was revealed to me, because the person who sent me baptizing told me that the one on whom I see the Spirit descend upon and stay upon, that is the one who shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So John, yes, he is, you know, a cousin of Jesus, but it is until that point when it was revealed to him, it was hidden until that point when it was revealed to him, then he knew that this is the one, this is the Messiah, this is the Christ that was promised. So what we see is that we have to understand that there, all these things were tied together, but you see, God came, you know, in plain sight. But the thing about God is that he loves to dwell in mysteries, and he loves to, you know, what you say, you could say, hiding in plain sight, you know. And that is why the principalities and powers and even the devil had no idea, because it was a mystery. It was hidden in one of the wisdoms of God that he will come in the flesh. And you see, if the principalities and powers of this world had known that that crucifying Jesus would have, you know, released salvation for all, they would never have done it. They would just have allowed Jesus to grow old and, you know, and carry on and leave him alone. But you see, that is why God does things in mysteries. So as we are reading in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says that in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now remember, they were now staying in Nazareth, And Joseph was betrothed to Mary. And verse 27, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High God, and the Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, just to pause there, remember, you know, when we think of angels, you know, angels have specific roles, and Gabriel is the archangel that is responsible for whether it's communication or sending the message of God. So he is sent again by God, and he comes to Nazareth. And you have to think of it in this time, you know, there was a prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7 where it said that, you know, when Ahaz was, God told him to ask for a sign, you know, whether as high as the heavens or as low as hell, and ask for a sign, and he did not give a sign. But then God said, a sign will be given to you, nevertheless, that a virgin shall conceive and shall be with child, and they shall call his name, you know, Emmanuel. So in this same way, now, I believe all the virgins in this time or in Israel at this point knew of this prophecy. They knew of a prophecy that, you see, one day there's going to be a woman, there's going to be a virgin who is going to carry, who is going to conceive a child miraculously, and she is going to be the mother of the Messiah. And so you could say that Mary was not the only virgin. But you see, God knows the hearts, and he knew the heart of Mary. But also, Mary was also of the lineage of the house of David. So it is very important that we follow this, and we see that it was in the plan of God and in the fulfillment of destiny. But you see, it is a great favor and it's a great honor to be chosen by God, you know, to fulfill God's assignment. And that's what at times people don't realize, that the place of blessing with God is in the place of service. There are many believers, yes. There are many people who God calls his children. There are many who have accepted Christ. But you see, there are those who have chosen to serve God. There are those who have said, you know what, whether I'm alone or not, I will serve God. Whether, you know, whether people don't understand, whether I'm ridiculed, whether, you know, whether it's not convenient, I will still serve God. And you see, Mary was one of such a kind whose heart was ready for her life to be interrupted. Because, you know, you can think of it, we read previously that, you know, in the book of Matthew, the first chapter, that Joseph decided, and Joseph wanted, chapter 2, sorry, Joseph wanted to send her away quietly when she was found with the child. But you see, him being a just man, he did not want to put her to public disgrace. Definitely, Mary knew that, I mean, if you go and tell your spouse or you go and tell someone that you're engaged to, that you are pregnant, and that, how are you pregnant? You are pregnant with the Holy Ghost. That would mean that definitely you're going to be divorced, and you're going to be put to disgrace, and most likely you're going to be killed. But you see, she was ready and her heart was willing and ready to be used by God. So inasmuch as she was fearful, the angel gives her the prophecy and says, you shall conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And you know, Jesus means savior, huh? Or he saves. You know, it was a name that was similar to Joshua. but it means he saves. And the Bible says that he will be great and will be called Son of the Most High God. Now, when you think of this, even demons would recognize, they will say, Son of the Most High God, why have you come to us before our time? So they recognize the title of Jesus, and this is a title that the angel comes to give even before his birth. He will be called the Son of the Most High God. And even think of this revelation that Peter has. When Jesus asks him, who do you say that I am? And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, and you are Peter, and on this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And he tells him that flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. So that revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, or the Son of the Most High God, is a revelation that comes from heaven. And you can see it is the same message that was given to Mary when she receives the message from the angel. And you have to think of it this way. Think of, you know, in the time of the Israelites, this was a time where they had the Greeks, you know, they had the Greek philosophers and the mythologies. And what were the Greeks known for? The Greeks were known for speaking, they used to have all these stories about the sons of God. And to them, when someone is a son of God, they were actually God. So they had that understanding that, you know, the gods would have, you know, sons, and their sons will also be gods. So when someone was told that this is a son of God, they actually knew that this is also one of the gods in their understanding. So that means it is God himself. And that is why when Jesus says that I am the Son of God, and then they take, you know, offense at him, because it means that he's making himself equal to God. And this is what the Jews were not happy about, and they were concerned about. But just think of it, let that thought stay, and we'll, you know, and it can stay and think of it in another, in a deeper light. But then he connects it to the story of to the lineage of David. And remember, we've seen how God promised David. We've already talked about that in great detail, that God promised David that David shall have someone, one of his sons, on the throne forever. So Jesus comes through that lineage, and he shall be given the throne of his father David, and of the reign of his kingdom there shall be no end. Just take a pause there and put yourself in that kingdom. Jesus came to usher us into the kingdom of God. And this is what we call the kingdom of heaven, because the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom that Jesus establishes on the earth for those, the sons of God, that are given the right to become sons of God through the faith in him, through believing in Christ. So that reign of that kingdom, and that is all you must know, the thing that God has started in you has no end. It shall be forever. Why? Because the thing that Christ came to start, and he lives in us, whatever work he has started is eternal. And this kingdom is an eternal kingdom. And that is why it says, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. What we have with God is forever. What the new birth, it's even more than a covenant, you know, because a covenant is agreement, you know, a covenant is what, you know, you will do this, but this is a right that is given to us by birth. The Bible says, yet to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the power to be called sons of God, children, not born of a human, you know, will or of a father's will, but children that are born of God. We are heirs of Christ. We are heirs of God
by birth, by right, because we are born of God. So you can imagine how, and the Bible says we are joint heirs with Christ. That speaks that it is a right that God gives us as children. We are now children of God. We are brought into that light and into this kingdom of God, which has no end. But Mary asked the question, verse 34, and Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And this is a question that is different from the question that Zechariah asked. Zechariah asked, "How will these things be?" He is a question of doubt. But Mary asked a question, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" In that, can you explain this to me? How will it be, since I don't know a man? It's not that, it's not a question of doubt, but I would like to understand. How will these things be, since I don't know a man, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And we've just talked about this, that this is the title. This is why, you know, Jesus, of course, uses this title, Son of Man, Son of God. But the angel tells us clearly that his child shall be holy. Why? Because the child shall be conceived of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit shall come upon you. The power of the Most High God, Most High, will overshadow you. And therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Verse 36, and behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God, or for nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. You see, the angel comes to bring to her the message of this miracle that is going to take place in her. And of course, everyone will ask, but how will these things be? You see, when God says, "I have blessed you," when God says, "I've lifted you," when God says, "I'm going to raise you, you know, and establish you," and all the precious promises that God has given us, even for this life and for the life to come, many times we'll ask ourselves, how will these things be? You know, that's a question that everyone asks. But you see, it looks like it's impossible. It's an impossibility, and this is an impossibility that was being talked about. But you see, the angel says, "Look here, let me give you also another miracle that has happened, another impossible situation that has happened." Because as our God is an impossibility specialist. So where things look impossible, that's where he comes in. For nothing is impossible with God. And he says, "Look here, even your own cousin, the one who they called barren, who is old in age, is in the sixth month with child." So if you want a reference point to believe that what I have said to you will come to pass, go and see your cousin. And you see, that's the beauty of God, of how God positions people in our lives who are to connect with us. You know, like you go to a new place and God brings someone just to guide you, you know, or you go to, you know, to a different town and God positions someone as a mentor or someone to just show you the way, or a man of God or something, because God always does not leave us on our own. And you see, Mary, definitely it was going to not be an easy time for her, but you see, she is given a point of reference, a place of faith, that she can also see that her own cousin, who was old in age, who everyone called barren, is with child, and she will also bear a son. And Mary says, "Behold,
I am the Lord's servant, or I'm the Lord's maiden servant. Let it be unto me according to your word. This is the heart of a servant. This is the heart of Mary. That she's like, you know what, God? You're free to interrupt my schedules. You're free to do according to your will. You're free to move me. You're free to shift. You know, at times we never understand the shifts of God. You could be in this job and it just cuts. And you're like, "Hey, God, what is this about? Why am I out of this season? Why am I going through this season of lack?" But you see, when God wants to align his children, when he wants to align us, he does and brings things that connect to his divine plan. This is what we call divine assignments. There are assignments on the earth that God wants people to do, or God desires to be done. Now, the assignments that people have given up on, they are those who God sent, and like Jonah, they ran away. There are people, and others went, and they along the way they abandoned it, and you know they started doing their own things. The Bible speaks of Demas, who loved the world, and you know he abandoned the mission and left Paul alone. You see, there are always assignments that are available in the spirit, in the natural. God has assignments. But you see, it is only servants that are willing to serve God. And we are not just servants in the form of slaves. We are more of mature sons who know that their place of honor in the family is in service. So if you're mature, as you grow in maturity in the faith, the thing that you ask God to do is, where can I serve? And you can see Mary says, I am servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Can we have that heart today, that God is able to interrupt our schedules and to work in us? Can we say, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me? Can we say that, you know, God, you're free to work in us? Can we say that, God, you're allowed to work in us? That's the place of humility. That's the place of maturity. And that's the place that God wants us to operate from. And if we have that heart, then you will start to see the miraculous work in your lives. No one serves God and goes empty. Even the disciples, they served people, but then they went home each with a basket of bread. This is how God works. He honors his servants, and he walks with his servants. He reveals to them mysteries. He shows them the way. And this is the heart that God wants us. And I pray that we've learned something from the story of Mary. And tomorrow we'll be able to carry on with the visit where she runs to confirm and sees this thing that has happened as God promised. So, my brother, you're welcome. As God leads you.
Thank you, Doctor. Much to add, but I think I learned from Mary there that it was a risk also on our side to accept and to take on the blessing. She's a virgin. She risked, of course, being, you know, disowned by her father. Shame.
Yeah.
You know, she risked being left by her fiancé, Joseph. You know, you think you're going to marry a virgin, then only to learn that virgin is pregnant.
Yeah.
You know? So there was a lot she was taking in. But I think it's a lesson for us that sometimes God's calling it seems disastrous. Just need to trust in him.
Yeah.
Because he has a plan, he has a purpose, he knows why he's asking you to do that. So yeah, that's
an amen, amen. True. God's calling and his assignments are like that. They don't look like it, but when they come, you see the blessing at the end. You actually look back and know that, oh, so this is what God was doing, you know. And I think there's one of the verses where I think a sword will too also pierce your heart. I think maybe we'll see it later. Mary was told a sword, you know, I mean, he will be the rising and falling of many, but a sword too. So in a way, as you're saying, the blessing of God, it is favor, yes, but it does not come packaged the way we expect it. But it is a blessing still. And I think if Mary is given a chance, she will still do it again. She will still do it again. Yeah. So anyway, let's give glory to God. Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your blessing that, Lord, indeed, it is you that chooses. And you chose Mary. And even for us, it is you that chose us, O God. We did not choose you. We did not call ourselves. It is you that made it possible for us to know you. And indeed, you say in your word, no one comes to you except that you call them. And I thank you for anyone out there who desires to know you, who desires to hear from you, who desires to be taught by you, O God, that, Lord, may they grow in knowledge, grow in understanding. And indeed, I thank you for those whose lives are being interrupted, who those are, God, you're placing assignments and placing calls before them to serve you, O God, that indeed they may be willing and they may see the place of assignment. They may see that place that indeed it is a place of blessing. And the Lord, as Mary, may they have the heart to say, I am the Lord's servant, let it be unto me according to your word. And I pray for that, that indeed give us such a heart that we can serve you and we can honor you. Remember family members, remember our children, remember even our loved ones, remember even our workplaces and the various places of worship and those that are worshiping God today and those that are going to work, that, Lord, your hand shall be with us, protect us on the roads, keep us safe. And we thank you that you've answered prayers, O God. The Lord, this land shall hear the gospel and it shall continue to grow according to your promise and to your word. We honor you and we adore you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom. And have a blessed, blessed day ahead.